We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt. Joining me, as always, over there, a bit under the physical weather, whatever we want to call this, a bit injured.
Yeah.
The one and only Dan Rubenstein, sir. How is your shoulder?
It's okay. I played very low-level rec league tennis. Not rec league, just with a friend, and I wrenched it a little bit. And that's what happens when you get old, and we'll address it more, I suppose, on the 2021 Washed List episode.
Yeah.
That's coming up here, what, probably a few weeks? Maybe a little before August? Sort of an off-topic for everybody? Maybe just for Verballers? Haven't decided yet? I think we should make it for everybody. That's the most universal thing.
We're all getting older together. Yeah.
That's true. Very true. So I'm all right. I'm hanging in there. I've got Advil coursing through whatever Advil courses through. I have some iced coffee going. I'm hydrating because apparently today is National Hydration Day.
This is your holiday.
I know. I learned it from the Miami Hurricanes Twitter account. So, you know, I could be worse. I'm all right. I'm ready to roll for this newest episode of The Hard Sell.
Don't forget to follow along on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the usual hotspots. Going out to verballers.com. That's where you can find our Patreon. We are working tirelessly behind the scenes, putting together what the tiers are going to look like. T-I-E-R-S.
Yeah.
We can't speak for the other kind of tiers this coming fall for our certified and premium Verballer tiers out on our Patreon again at verballers.com. More info forthcoming. Also, don't forget to go on out to our website, solidverbal.com, sign up for the newsletter. See the big yellow box. If you scroll down just a little bit, it says join our newsletter. Give us your email address there, and that'll get you subscribed to our list. So when we do have cool stuff to send out to you, we have a way to get in touch.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the Discord community that has grown up, that is bubbling up out of the earth.
Out of the earth.
It's just it's a good collection of people who like talking college football. We have a really active recipe and food channel in there, and we do Bruin-A stuff. And there's just it's talking with other fans online without the toxic Twitter element of like LOL fraud. Like it's really nice. I enjoy the people that, you know, I think people should hang out with this community. If you're a like-minded college football fan and Verballer, give it a look. See what the options are. We're pretty active in there. I like it.
I need to get more active.
Mm-hmm.
We did a survey before we did the Patreon thing at all. And
we
posed the question to people, which of these benefits would be of interest to you? Discord was near the bottom. And so my expectation was that when we launched this thing, there wasn't going to be a lot of activity. There'd be a few people coming and going and chatting about whatever ails them. In fact, it's turned into just a
whatever ails them.
A bustling community of college football fans and all around cool people. It's been a lot of fun. So check it on out again for ballers.com is how you can find out more information about joining the Patreon community and getting access to said Discord server, Dan.
Yeah.
What is our show today?
Well, Texas receiver Jake Smith entered the transfer portal, and I know you had a kind of an extensive guide to his pros, cons, and where he might end up. So I guess the floor is yours, right?
Other than Jake Smith, what is this show about?
This is our newest episode of The Hard Sell, which people seem to be enjoying. It's one of our new concepts that we've weaponized for the listening public, in which both you and I... You like that? I tried to sneak it past
it's
you.
It's a good word. It's a good word.
Thank you. Each of us, you and I, each select a recruiting rival of sorts. And we did Ohio State and Michigan last time, and you could make a case, you know, Ohio State's main recruiting rival is, say, Alabama or Georgia or Clemson, because they're the ones in it for, I mean, the most national five stars, it seems, year in and year out. But I think within the Big Ten, within certain conferences, we're looking to find those rivals or pseudo rivals. And this is today's episode, TCU versus Oklahoma State, was a suggestion we got from a few people when we asked for suggestions, not necessarily at the very top of each conference, but two schools that find each other competing for recruits more often than not year in and year out. And so with TCU and Oklahoma State, obviously it would have been higher profile to do Texas, Oklahoma, but it's our show. We don't need to. So
that's right.
We're doing TCU, Oklahoma State. You have, I think, romantic and lustful history with TCU. I have nothing either way with Oklahoma State, though. I love a lot of their uniforms and have always treasured Pistol Pete in my college football life. So that's who we're competing against. So I'm representing Oklahoma State. You're representing TCU. And we are going to, even though we don't necessarily believe Ty and Dan, what we're saying in defense of and attacking another school, we are behaving on behalf. We are acting on behalf of these schools as recruiters. And this is how we would recruit for and against these schools.
Yeah, we are ambassadors, if you will, for our respective programs.
This is acting. Thank you.
Exactly. The position, the name of the recruit. So we agreed on the last show, wide receiver, which like instantly gives you an advantage, if I'm being honest. If you're taking Oklahoma State, it's already a harder sell, I think, for me as TCU. But we'll get into all that momentarily.
Two first round receivers in the last 5 years for TCU?
Correct.
Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, so I don't think you are starting, you know, way, way behind the starting line here.
It's not bad. It's not as bad as I initially thought. But again, we'll get into that momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
Do we come to an agreement on the name of this recruit?
Yeah. His name is going to be Junkyard Dachshund, a combination of Junkyard Jim Washington, of course, from Oklahoma State, and Josh Dachshund from TCU. He is 6'2.5", 193 pounds, from Denton Geyer High School, which I believe is the alma mater of J.W. Walsh.
Okay, in Texas.
Denton is north of the DFW area. Maybe it's considered to be a DFW suburb. I don't know how it's officially classified, but it's between Stillwater and Fort Worth. So that it figured to be a worthwhile
area.
So that's where we are, and just in terms of his background. He is athletic. You know, obviously he's not like 6'3", 215, so perhaps he's not that five star, but he's a versatile receiver and, you know, moved all around on his high school team and everything that higher level college football programs would want in a four-star receiver. He's not a full five-star, but he's a four-star, has the potential to make early impacts for either for any team he ends up playing for.
Okay.
And is just, he wants to stay relatively close to home, which is why he's looking at the Big 12, and he's narrowed it down to TCU and Oklahoma State, two schools where he feels like he won't get lost in the shuffle. You have Sark has brought in some wide receivers, I believe, just their wide receiver talent at Texas, more so at Oklahoma. And so he really wants to pave his own way, to blaze his own trail, Oklahoma State and TCU really do appeal to him.
Let's play the music. Let's do it.
Welcome to college football.
Hopefully this gets the juices flowing, Dan. I should have you know that I got a very reserved phone call from Mama H shortly after our last episode. And she's like, you know, you're just not very good at these episodes. This is not your wheelhouse. And then we got a comment from our boy Ben on Facebook, who was a little bit more aggressive in the way that he worded it, but also not a fan of my tactics here. That's fine.
Well, I mean, recruiting is, it's dog eat dog.
It's dog eat dog. It's a little bit of a snake oil salesman.
Well, I think I did a fantastic job with both Alabama and Michigan. I think you just need to dig deeper and you need to find the kernel, the core of your selling point. And that's emotion. It's relationships. And I don't know if you've fully tapped into it yet. You've done your research. You know your stuff.
Well,
but you need to find what's inside the stuff, Ty.
So, Mr. Junkyard Dachshund, do you go by Junk? Can we just call him Junk? Is that okay?
I hope so. I think the recruiter who recruited for Georgia forgot the recruit's name a number of times. So it's good that this recruiter for TCU is really verifying.
Junk.
Yeah, Junk or Junkyard. J, if you want. J-Yard.
J-Yard. J-Docs. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever works for you, Mr. Junk.
Junk is fine.
You know, the college experience is all about growth. It's all about development. It's about
Are you making the first pitch?
I'm making the first pitch.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Okay.
It's about getting you ready for the future, both in football and in the real world. Here at TCU, we know there are no shortcuts, but you can learn the process. You can learn the process from the best of them. You can learn it from Gary Patterson. Gary Patterson has been at the helm of this program now for over 20 years. He is fine-tuned those dark arts of growth and development. Ever so gradually, over the course of the last two decades, this is a program that turned into one of the big boys, Dan. Excuse me, Junk. Turned into one of the big boys. They bootstrapped, TCU did, bootstrapped their way from the WAC to Conference USA, to the Mountain West, and now to the Big 12. This is a growth mentality that is pervasive all throughout the TCU football program, the TCU institution as an academic institution. It's part of everything that goes on in Fort Worth. It's how they constantly produce NFL talent, how they compete for championships, how they get you ready for life after football. On the other side of things, actually in the classroom, because look, Mr. and Mrs. Junk, feels very weird to say that.
Dachshund? I don't know.
Maybe they go by Junk. I don't know.
Yeah.
In the classroom, what you'll come to know about TCU is that the core curriculum, it's well done, it's practical, it's set up with a focus on getting students prepared for the real world after graduation. It's a place that's big enough to feel like a big time, you know, huge institution like the Penn States, like the Arizona States of the world. But at the same time, it's small enough, it's personal enough that your professors are actually going to know your name. So a degree from TCU is meaningful because you get that one-on-one attention when it comes to actually learning your desired discipline. And it's also setting you up from a practical standpoint so that you can hit the ground running if you do have to go into the working world after you play your football career through.
Going pro in something other than football, is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
Okay. Yep.
So TCU really gives you the best of both worlds, but it is all about that growth and personal development. It is something that Gary Patterson, something that the institution as a whole, they take it very seriously. And I think it's evident whenever you look at TCU that their roots are humble, but they've built themselves up as a football program, as an institution, to this level of being just nationally renowned.
I'm an agent here.
I can speak.
Oh, you're an agent. Okay.
I can use the royal we. I can go they. I can do whatever I want. There are no rules.
Okay.
That is my opening pitch. Continue.
Okay. I think it's an interesting opening pitch for sure. I'm going to focus on Oklahoma State because that's where the good folks at the Biletnikoff Award are focused. Justin Blackmon, of course, won it twice. And Jim Washington, you know, James Washington to
Junkyard.
You. Junkyard Jim, of course. James Washington won it recently. And it's just been a really great place for wide receivers to thrive on the field. And Stillwater is a fantastic place. Everybody in Stillwater loves college football and shows up to the games in a big stadium. There's just something about Oklahoma State and getting the best of big time football in a town that's a true college town, not a city, but a college town. And between the facilities that, of course, T. Boone Pickens was able to spearhead and fund, between the continuity with Coach Gundy in Stillwater, both, of course, with a storied career as a player and then longtime coach, the continuity is there. And the offensive coordinators that have gone on to bigger and better jobs. You talk about Dana Holgorsen and Todd Monken and Mike Yurcik and recently Sean Gleason. And now, of course, Casey Lee Dunn has been a fantastic addition. Not addition, he's been there forever, but you're going to be coached by the best in a big time place, playing in big time, a big time rivalry game in Bedlam. I'm not sure. TC, was it the rivalry with Baylor, the private school pillow fight? I just think there is something about Junkyard Dachshund that it just spells big time to me. And I see a B with big time, and I see a B with Biletnikoff. I see the whole package here with Oklahoma State and a wide receiver from Texas who's used to big time football. So Oklahoma State, it makes sense to me. Obviously, it makes sense to you on a certain level. What we do is we develop players here at Oklahoma State, not just for the next level, but to succeed on this level, to win, to be a part of a prolific passing offense that for the past 5 years finished as a top 50 offense. We can talk about TCU if you want, but I'd rather just talk about Oklahoma State here and how well we develop wide receivers and offensive skill talent here in Stillwater.
And also the All-American rejects, not to be outdone.
True.
Also from Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Big with 17-year-olds in 2021.
Circa.
A mere 20 years after their seminal album came out. Yeah.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, so let's unpack that a little bit. You talk about being coached by the best. And for sure, Mike Gundy is a good coach. The offense has been high flying. I want to talk a little bit about Doug Meacham, though. Talk a little bit about Gary Patterson.
I think I added a Lee. It's just Casey Dunn.
Casey Dunn.
Casey Lee just sounded good to me.
Casey Lee Dunn?
Casey Lee Dunn,
sure.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Doug Meacham. We'll get into Gary Patterson. But
sure.
Doug Meacham, on the topic of offensive coordinators, he has roots in the air raid, which obviously is a very wide receiver friendly system. He is an aggressive minded play caller. He has a knack for developing talent, pretty good track record of doing that. And in particular, getting his best players the football. Back in the days of Josh Doctson, part of Doug Meacham's offense and his ability to go downfield, his ability to focus on the best player on the field, part of that is what made Josh Doctson into a first round draft pick by the Redskins. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy who, if you come in with a lot of talent, he will find that talent. He will find ways to make it better, but he will also try and use the existing offense to harness it and buoy the entire operation. If he gets that reliable target, and I have to believe, Mr. Junk, that you are the reliable target.
Sure.
He also likes to bomb it deep.
Mm-hmm.
Loves to bomb it deep. We saw it in 2016 with Mr. Doxson, your namesake. We even saw that a bit last year in the absence of a true stud wide receiver. Good wide receivers. No one your caliber, Mr. Junk. But over 18% of TCU's passes went for at least 20 or more yards in the air. That was among the nation's best. So this is an offense that's high-flying, an offense that likes to rely on wide receivers, and an offense, I should also point out, that has produced two first-round NFL draft picks from the wide receiver position in the last 5 years, those being Josh Doxson, previously mentioned, and of course, most recently in 2020, Jalen Reagor.
I'm not sure where you're getting your numbers from, because what I'm seeing with TCU is I'm seeing last season. Now, he was just, what, a receivers coach? This is Doug Meacham you're talking about? I'm seeing TCU as a 105th best passing offense in the country. So maybe they attempted a lot of downfield passing. You talked about that one-on-one attention that you get going to TCU, right? I don't know if Mr. Max Duggan and the one-on-one attention that he was trying to put out into the universe. I don't think there was not a lot of connection,
okay,
is what I would say. TCU was really poor, 102nd in terms of percentage of passes to outside receivers. They threw to running backs. They threw to slot receivers.
Slot receivers, sure.
So we're talking to a big-time receiver here who wants
But they
the
like
ball.
To move him around. You said they like to move him around in high school.
Sure.
And TCU, that offense is creative enough in that it knows how to get the right matchups. I don't think,
sure,
just judging from talking to Mr. and Mrs. and Junk Jr., I'm assuming that he wants the football in open space. He wants the football in ways that he can make the most impact. If you're looking for that, I think TCU has shown a proficiency in putting its players in a good spot to get those matchups and showcase what they can do.
Yeah, you want to showcase what you can do in man coverage. Max Duggan, a QBR of 10.3 versus man coverage in 2020. So you got to start showcasing. I'm right there with you.
See, the problem, though.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair. We've gotten a lot of questions from other parents at the wide receiver,
sure,
position about that very stat. How do you guys do against man coverage? Mm-hmm. What I would say, and what I have said to the Junk family.
Mano a mano.
What I've said to the Junk family is that what we're trying to do at TCU at the receiver position is get more athletic. We want to get more guys that wiggle, more guys that shake, that can get off of man coverage and put our offense in a better position. We think that's Junkyard Doxson.
Yeah, no, it's all hypothetical. The good news here is what we saw from Spencer Sanders from Oklahoma State, a quarterback. We're quite proud of his progress and how he is ascending up the college football ranks at quarterback. We saw him throw for 400 yards against Texas last year, throw four touchdowns, averaging 10 yards per attempt. And then how he finished the season, leading the Pokes to a 42-3 win over Baylor. And just, I mean, it was three touchdowns. It was 11 yards an attempt, completing almost 70% of his passes. The bowl game against Miami with first-round talent on that defense, another 70% almost completion rate. 300 plus yards, four touchdowns, no picks. We're talking about a growth at quarterback that isn't hypothetical. It's something that we are already seeing. We're seeing guys develop like Tylan Wallace. We're seeing guys develop Dylan Stoner, Marcel Aitman. These guys are accomplished on both the college level and making names for themselves on the pro level. We can't control that, but obviously the way they contributed to us here in Stillwater and in the Big 12, we're always quite impressed looking back at what they've done for us in these last couple of years. So it's not a hypothetical for us. We are showing and proving that, and we have been able to, despite offers from other schools, huge schools, that we were able to keep Casey Dunn here in the fold after
Casey
he's
Lee
done
Dunn?
Such a great job. No, just Casey Dunn.
Casey Dunn, okay.
Maybe it's Casey Lee Dunn. Who knows? Who's to say? But I just have Casey Dunn here. And I just, it makes sense to me. And there's something about Stillwater and college football with, you know, Fort Worth, great place, an unbelievable city. And you know that the DFW area is a Cowboys town. I'd love to say it's an Oklahoma State Cowboys town, but it's a pro sports town. And I mean, frankly, there are more UT people, there are more Oklahoma people in the DFW area, and understandably so. TCU's a tiny little private school. It's a cute story, obviously. And wow. You know, you have maybe
shots fired.
It's a small school, 9,000-10,000 kids. In Texas, you have 50,000. Now, you're just numbers wise. TCU, it's going to be tough to compete. And I get it. And you can be a little froggy or a blood frog. I, you know, it's hard to keep track, but you could be a cowboy. You could be Pistol Pete. There's just something about, especially with the NIL stuff coming through, this is a college town. You can be the face of a college town, not just another person in the DFW area. You can.
Wow.
I'm just spitballing here, Ty. In terms of the opportunities available, do you want to be the face of Little Shop of Flowers, Spin City Laundry, Don Evans Window Tint, Balance Coffee, Crouch's Heating and Cooling? Whatever it is that does it for you, you are going to be influential.
Don Evans
in Stillwater,
Window
Oklahoma.
Tint.
Don Evans Window Tint. Look it up.
Okay.
The reviews are fantastic, and we'd love to be involved. Don, I've spoken to Don. He'd love to be involved more with the program. So there is something exceptional.
He's a real,
about being
he's
that
a real
face.
Boone Pickens, that Don.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I have a number of friends who have been to Fort Worth, have attended TCU, and they have nothing but great things to say. And I'm taking them at their word. It looks fantastic. But playing in a big rivalry like Bedlam, playing on the national stage, you know, guys getting drafted into the NFL at quarterback, there's just, it's a different level. And that's why we see you as a different level wide receiver. It just fits. The facilities are second to none because of T. Boone Pickens and his contributions to the program and his passion about poke football. You see all the uniforms, you see fantastic facilities.
He gave something like $650 million.
Well, that's to the school as a whole. He's
school.
A big believer in both high-level athletics and academics.
Of course.
It's a fit. It's just, we see you and your style and your personality, and you see the success that we've had with these high-flying top offenses, quarterback after quarterback, coordinator after coordinator, and call me crazy, it just makes sense. It just makes sense.
Well,
it's a marriage made in heaven.
Let me tell you what else makes sense. What makes sense is if you want to get to the NFL, if you're really serious about growing as a player, if you're really serious about growing as a person, football won't last forever. You go to the place that's got the track record for doing all of those things. And you put yourself in the best position to succeed, by working under the tutelage of one Gary Patterson. We can talk a good game about Mike Gundy and the hair and, ooh, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Gary Patterson. He's coached TCU for the last 20 years. He was hired December 2000. Been there forever. Second longest tenured coach in college football. The only one who's been at his place longer is Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. This is a guy who has coached TCU in four different conferences now. I said it at the top. The WAC, Conference USA, Mountain West, and Big 12. He's been there all along that journey. He is such an authority on college football, Dan. Not only is he successful as a coach, not only is he revered by his peers in the coaching profession.
He sings,
he dances, he's on American Idol. He's on the ESPN film room. You can watch him with your own eyes. Every college football national championship, you can see him there. And you know what the other coaches are doing as he's espousing his endless wisdom? They're taking notes. They're taking notes. We saw it with Major Applewhite a couple years ago. Gary Patterson is seated right next to him. Nobody can get a word in edgewise because Coach Patterson just sees the game. He's like John Nash in A Beautiful Mind. He sees it in a way. He sweats a little bit more, too. He sees it in a way that many coaches do not. He is an authority on all things college football. He's an authority on that development aspect that I think is just so vital in getting you to the next level.
Well, if you're looking for a coach who can't stop talking, may I tell you about Coach Mike Gundy? No, obviously Coach Gundy's been in Stillwater since 2005. He lives and breathes poke football, Oklahoma State, of course. He played for the school. He's been involved in the school. Obviously, some people think he's a bit of a joke because of the I'm a man, I'm 40, but we're talking about somebody who goes to the mat for his players. We're talking to somebody who believes in having their back. And me using the phrase having their back and going to the mat, it's not an accident because Stillwater also the home of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame.
It's a big time school, big time athletics. Wasn't there an instance where the star running back for Oklahoma State was so dismayed by the handling of certain events, particularly as they related to Mike Gundy, that he was willing to sit out last year, that he took a really hard line, was very open in the media against Mike Gundy? Is that the kind of player-coach relationship that is cultivated at Oklahoma State? Is that the norm, or is, you know, what should the Junks expect from this?
It's a great question, Ty. And I can tell you this. Coach Gundy's looking at 2020 as a learning experience. He absolutely is. And one of the great things about Oklahoma State is it's a place where somebody like Chuba Hubbard is outspoken, is developed, is somebody he feels comfortable in an environment to speak up and say, you know what? Something is wrong here. We need to fix this program from the inside. And somebody like that, that's a man of Oklahoma State. That's somebody who represents Oklahoma State exceptionally well. And Mike Gundy absolutely did not meet his own standard in what he did in 2020. But I can tell you this, he is reinvigorated. He is reinvigorated as a coach. We all tie. I'm not going to tell you I'm perfect. I don't think you would tell me you're perfect. We all need wake-up calls. And that's what 2020 was for Coach Gundy. And Chuba Hubbard, in the family of Oklahoma State, was able to help him wake up.
Wow.
Look, if you're gonna use that against Oklahoma State, that's a tactic. That's a TCU tactic, I guess.
But TCU tactic.
It's a TCU tactic. It's a sort of look. If you're a private school, if you're a small school and you're punching up, I get you. You got to do whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. I get it, Ty. I get it. I absolutely do.
But when I'm
sitting here in front of the Dachshund, the Dachshunds, they're classy people, Ty.
The Dachshunds.
They see through this.
Wiener dogs. That's what that sounded like.
Dachshunds. Junkyard Dachshunds.
Yeah. What's the status of the Oklahoma State football facility, Sam?
I mean, they're fantastic.
Are they second to none?
How phenomenal.
Tell me. I want to know more before I send my son there.
Sure.
I want to know more about the facilities. What are we getting ourselves into?
Oh, the locker rooms are wonderful. The weight rooms are incredible. The uniforms, just the combination upon combinations. We're here to help you pop. You look good, you feel good, you play good. And that's something about Oklahoma State, that we're creative. We want guys to stand out. We want the Oklahoma State football program to stand out. We do whatever it takes to help differentiate ourselves, because we feel like in Stillwater, Oklahoma State is a different place.
So
whether you're mingling with fans at Eskimo Joe's, a legendary haunt in Stillwater, that's up there with the best of places in the country in terms of college food, eats, drinks, whatever. I know Fort Worth has, and it's more of a honky-tonk town. If you want to, you know, go varsity at the two-step over there, Billy Bob's, I believe, is the place. That's good. That's cool. Follow your path. Everybody has their own journey. But there's just it's big time college football in Stillwater and Oklahoma State. And this is what we're selling here. We're selling the big time.
Well, Gary Patterson wanted to make more of a light experience, let's say, in the football facilities. So in effect, they built their own Dave and Buster's, full on arcade, all sorts of cool games, trying to lighten the mood. Football is fun. Football is serious business. We obviously all take this seriously. At the same time, you got to be a kid, man. Got to be a kid. You got to have fun out there. If you're not having fun, as you said, you got to look good, you got to feel good, you got to play good. All three things need to work together. So let's build an arcade in our facilities. Make people feel good about it. Let's build facilities that are so top notch.
If you're looking to attract children, it's the move. It's absolutely the move to attract children and adult weirdos to build an arcade.
Newsflash. These kind of are children and adult weirdos. End of aside.
We're talking about young men. We're talking about molding these teenagers into young men. And if for you, that's Galaga and Tekken, that's cool.
Also, these facilities are so advanced across the board, not just the arcade. The arcade is something that people gravitate towards. These facilities are so advanced that some NFL reporters who have been on site have gone around and told their peers, like, yo, these might be better facilities than most NFL teams. It's that advanced at TCU. They've really put a strong commitment into bettering their facilities, making sure that all the players have nothing but the best at their disposal. it's one of the ways that they were able to get into these bigger and better conferences over the years by demonstrating time and again that they've got a real serious ongoing commitment to the football program. And so you can trace that line all the way back to when Gary Patterson started, all the way back in the halcyon days of the WAC, right? When he coached one game at the end of the year through Conference USA, through the Mountain West, all the way up into the Big 12. That through line has always been incremental upgrades, finding ways to make the program ever so slightly better from year to year to year to year. And that's where we're at now. The facilities are second to none. Second to none.
Yeah, I think TCU is using those facilities wisely because you don't just get to 4, 5, 6 wins every year in dilapidated facilities. And so TCU as a 6-win program, they're doing what it takes behind the scenes. And hats off to Gary, or shirts off to Gary, whatever it is, whatever cartoonish thing Gary Patterson is doing these days. But just winning games, developing players, I think that's what we're focused on here at Oklahoma State. I just, you know, it, whatever it is, the arcades, the second to none, the NFL reporters, this is all, it's all external, Ty. We're a tight-knit family here at Oklahoma State. And we focus on football. We focus on the development of young men here. And again, it's fantastic. Arcades, children, whatever it is that you were going on and on about TCU, I think it's great. I think it's great for some people. But for big-time receivers like Junkyard Dachshund, we're focused on some bigger real-life stuff. That's all.
Mike Gundy's been at Oklahoma State for 15 seasons now? Something like that?
Yes, since 2005. Yes, heavily invested.
15 seasons. Only 6 double-digit win seasons. So we can talk a great game about, yeah, you know, you got to spend all that money to get the 6 wins, but I don't see a whole lot here on this coaching resume that excites me, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, if Oklahoma State were a Mountain West program, Conference USA, WAC, is that what you were talking about? You know, those numbers might look a little bit different. But again, it's a big-time program and always has been. And I think it's really nice that TCU has found its way, you know. It took sort of stops and starts to this level, but it's going to take some time for Gary Patterson to fully get used to things. Playing big ball. That's all. That's okay.
Okay. So I like
Is there anything else? Selling point, TCU, quarterbacks, Fort Worth, you really haven't mentioned. I don't know.
I don't really know that much about Fort Worth, to be perfectly honest with you. Wow. Here's what I know about Fort Worth. The only thing I know about Fort Worth. I've never been there. Yeah. I wanted to go. I didn't have a chance. I've been down there a bunch of times. I never had a chance to go. So I'm not even going to try to fake it. Call me out if you want. I don't care. All I've been told about Fort Worth is that you've heard of the Wild West. The Wild West starts in Texas anyway when you get to Fort Worth. It doesn't start in Dallas. It starts in Fort Worth. Is that accurate?
That's something that you've heard. I couldn't tell you either way.
Have you been to Fort Worth?
Some people's experience was, I have been to Fort Worth, and I enjoyed it. It's nice.
I'd love to go. We didn't have a chance. Anytime I've been to Texas, I've never had a chance to go. Yeah.
No, it's a good place.
Have you been to Stillwater?
No, I haven't been to Stillwater. I've been to Norman.
Interesting. Yeah. What were your thoughts on Norman?
Can't be everywhere. Norman's fine.
It's fine.
It's good.
A ringing endorsement for the state of Oklahoma. Norman was
Norman's right outside of Oklahoma City. It's a little bit different. It's a different experience. I'm just telling you right now, Oklahoma State is big time athletics. We're about to see the number one overall NBA draft pick. There's a gravity to Stillwater. There's a gravity to Oklahoma State. The best of the best find themselves at Oklahoma State.
Sure.
Am I taking credit for Cade Cunningham? I'm not. I'm just telling you about the gravity and what it means to be a Poke. And Cade Cunningham saw this experience in Stillwater and said, you know what? I want to be a part of it. Big time basketball player, big time wrestlers. It just keeps happening over and over again. That big time means a big move to Stillwater. Ironically enough, nothing stays still at Stillwater. It's always moving. We're always moving here.
Did you just make that up? You just made that up.
I did. Yeah.
That was pretty good. I like that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, solidverbal@gmail.com is the email. Write in. Unload on us. Let us know your thoughts on how we did with this here argument. We will also obviously be posting to all of our social channels where you can again weigh in and tell me how delusional I am.
For the last 5 years, TCU has not produced a top 50 offense. I worry about Junkyard Dachshund. It's going to keep me up nights a little bit. If you make a choice to go to TCU, how do you showcase your receiver skills if you can't get the ball?
See, you're still recruiting, and I stopped about 5 minutes ago.
No, I just that's where we're at. A lot. I've given this look. This is me diving inside the stuff, Ty.
Inside the stuff.
Sure. I can't tell when you stopped recruiting. I'm always recruiting here, Ty. 24/7.
I mean, the line would have been, you can't tell when I started recruiting. That would have been the line, but you can keep that one for next time.
Are we officially done?
We're done. I like your argument. Done like Casey Lee. I like your argument. I think this was the hardest pairing that we've had, because all the other ones, the two schools that we've done before, in both cases, right, we just had more material to work with. So recruiting a wide receiver to either of these two schools was inherently much more difficult, because they're just not as big of programs. They're not as steep with rich, recent college football success.
Right.
So it was harder. It was much harder.
Yeah. I mean, but the good thing about this one is they're similar to TCU and Oklahoma State. Similar in that they have had big successes that have not carried over to 2-3-4 year runs. But what, TCU was in the 2016, they demolished Ole Miss in, or that was 2014, but they demolished Ole Miss like 42-3 in Peach Bowl, I believe. And Oklahoma State went to the Sugar Bowl. That was 2016, also against Ole Miss, and Oklahoma State lost that game. So, you have Trevon Boykin, 2014, you have higher highs.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State has more offensive firepower, but TCU, they win the Rose Bowl. There's just a higher ceiling, I would say, that I would push. I would have pushed TCU just on bigger stages more often and bigger national conversations. But, Oklahoma State was number 2 in the country before they lost to Iowa State. So they're very similar, which I think makes it, like, my job as a Michigan recruiter was harder against Ohio State, and yours as Georgia was probably a little less hard against Alabama, just because they're competing for similar recruits. But Oklahoma State and TCU, I think, have similar sights.
Similar sights. I'll tell you what was interesting to me going back and reading up on Doug Meacham. So Doug Meacham...
You skipped over the Kansas part. I noticed that.
Yeah, I skipped over the Kansas part.
I didn't hammer you on that, yeah.
Skipped over the Kansas part. That was entirely by design. But Doug Meacham had been paired with Sonny Cumbie, right? And Sonny Cumbie, it depends where you read. There's actually a pretty wide spectrum of how fans view those two coordinators and what their roles were. The Doug Meacham thing was interesting because I found an old interview that our friends over at Frogs of War did before Meacham. I guess it was immediately after Meacham was hired as part of the new Kansas football staff. And the question that was posed to the Frogs of War writer, whom I do not remember his or her name, what's this guy like? What should we expect? And though it took a very positive tone and sung the praises of Doug Meacham, his ability to be aggressive, his ability to develop talent, his ability to make things better than they were when he started, there was also a distinct tone of negativity. And it all came back to a 3rd-and-1 play, I want to say against Texas Tech, where they ran a double reverse. And it was like, and I remember that play because we talked about it. It never dawned on me that it stuck in the craw of TCU fans quite the way it did.
Well, you have that, right? With a Notre Dame, like an individual call or an individual moment. Everybody has those.
But my point, for sure. But my point is that everywhere I read about Doug Meacham, that specific play kept coming up. That, and in this particular interview, again, our friends, Frogs of War, go check them out, a great TCU site. They talk about how, yes, he did great work with Josh Doctson, but on the same note, it was almost like he forced the ball to him too much. Like everything had to go through Doctson. And so it was good for Doctson. It made him look good. But at the same time, it wasn't really a balanced offense. There were holes in that offense because it was so one-dimensional. So I tried to spin that as best I could. I think in either case, you could do just fine as a wide receiver going to either of these two schools. Lord knows there are going to be plenty of opportunities in an air raid or air raid like system to get yours if you are a standout wide receiver. I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. You probably will have, at least if recent memory is any indication, a better opportunity to play with a better quarterback if you go to Oklahoma State, because that's been a huge con on the whole TCU program over the last, you know, 5 years or so. Maybe Max Duggan will be better in 2020. I don't know. I hope. Or we're fans of Max Duggan.
That's what it says on the TCU poster.
That's what it says.
Max Duggan will be better.
TCU poster.
He's showed flat. He's for sure shown flashes, and he's a great dual threat in that, you know, third and eight. He can get 14 with his legs. But yeah, there have been some questionable stretches.
So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. If Max Duggan goes out there and has a banner year, perhaps this is an easier recruiting pitch to make. But I still like that just setup of putting yourself in a Gary Patterson system at a school that we know does have a track record for placement of talent, for development of talent. The other thing that I didn't really mention here, because I don't know how
corners.
Well, right. Well, sure. I didn't know how to spin the fact that TCU is not typically a powerhouse when it comes to recruiting, but one of the ways that Patterson has made his name is by developing that talent. So how do you pitch that to a kid who is like a four-star, obviously thinks he's the
man? Well, that's easy.
How do you pitch that? How would you have pitched that?
Well, you say, look what we've done with guys who were not as physically ready for the sport as you are, Junkyard Dachshund. Look what we turned them into. Imagine what we could do with you. The potential is tantalizing, right?
Tantalizing. Okay.
Tantalizing fair potential. Enough. And TCU has had some good classes.
They have.
They've resonated pretty well on
not
the trail.
Not so much lately, but.
Yeah, it's been less so.
Fair point.
I feel like whatever the year was with Shewo Alonolua, is that how that was pronounced? Those classes in that time, maybe it was like 2015, 2016, 2014. I think they took advantage pretty well. You also didn't mention that TCU has beaten Oklahoma State, what, 3 or 4 years? I don't think you mentioned that. That for all of my talk of big time football, TCU has recently owned the back and forth.
Can we submit that as Exhibit A after
no,
the fact?
I don't think that's, okay. I don't think you can do it after the fact. The Gundy is a wild card thing. The quotes that he would call players by their numbers, not their names. I was prepared to address that, but I expected to hear that from you, that sort of negative recruiting that like, how can you play for a guy who treats you as a number and not a name?
My other angle was going to be to just flat out make stuff up.
But I don't think you have to.
I don't think I have to. I was surprised that you did not come back when I started talking about the ESPN film room. Gundy's been on those things a bunch of times, too. He hasn't, I don't think, recently.
It doesn't register with me as being important to a 16-year-old, 17-year-old.
What's on TV is important.
But they're not watching it. Like
they're not watching the national
show. They didn't watch. No, but you're not watching the film room. You're just watching the game if you're 16, 17.
Okay.
Maybe after the fact. Maybe they show it to you on your official visit. No, I definitely think a small private Christian university is going to have a different feel on an official visit than a huge school. Oklahoma State isn't Texas size, but I think it's about 30,000. So it's three times the size. So I wanted to push that. I wanted to push, you know, because big time in your DFW greater area and Denton. And the Biletnikoff stuff that... I mean, the TCU offense to me, and this is something we'll get into more in the preview, it's just like, I don't know how you whiff on a quarterback at a school in Texas.
I know.
That has won.
Well, what about the University of Texas? What about UT?
Well, they've gotten big commitments. And like Sam Ellinger was pretty good.
Yeah.
And he started for 4 years.
Right.
I mean, I know it's difficult choosing the right guy and figuring out how, you know, to predict what they're going to do. It's very tough. But the TCU offense, and there's like something I really don't like it when schools are just like, well, it worked with these guys 5 years ago. Let's like roll it back with Doug Meacham or roll it back with, you know, Sonny Cumbie's, I think, at Texas Tech. But I'm just like, I don't know. I think you have to evolve. I think you have to find, you know, up and comers. And that's what I liked about Gundy with Yurcich and Holgorsen and, you know, dipping into Houston, dipping into Division II, dipping into, you know, Todd Monken coming over from the NFL. Like there's a creativity about Oklahoma State in that offense. And they're both in weird places, though, because Oklahoma State's offense has never been this bad. I expected you to hit that. I expected you to hit Spencer Sanders throwing interceptions. I saw Oklahoma State something like 81st in points per drive last year. And I spun it as for the past 5 years, finishing with the top 50 offense. But
interesting. Okay.
I don't know. I expected you to hit. I was going to hit back, but I didn't get that initial damage. So
it's fine. I did my research at 3 a.m. So give me a little bit of slack. All right.
That's fine.
Write in solidverbal@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts. And by the way,
all of those businesses are real.
Oh, I'm sure.
Little
real.
Shop of Flowers, which is a great name. Spin City Laundry.
There's no way you made any of that stuff up.
Don Evans Window Tint. And if Don Evans is at all problematic, has done anything problematic, I take no credit.
A window tint company always has that chance, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me see what Don Evans looks like. Don Evans Window Tint. I hope he's just a fantastic dude who likes car privacy.
No relation to Bob, who is down on the farm.
Dude, Don Evans Window Tint is just like a hut with a 7-Up machine in front. But there, I just looked up places with good reviews, and it has amazing reviews. So, like, Don has to be pretty cool. It's 4.5 stars on 73 cool. Google reviews.
Okay. That's not bad.
I don't know. It's right by Stillwater High School. So, what was the other business I mentioned? Balanced Coffee and Crouch's Heating and Cooling.
Crouch's Heating and Cooling.
I actually think that is interesting. Like, you brought up the Ohio State thing with NIL and, like, Columbus is going to be a good place.
And people supported that, by the way. People wrote in and said that I was actually selling Columbus short as a hub for business.
We heard from people who work for Ohio State in the athletic department saying, Ty, you're killing us here.
Yeah. That's a shame.
I was listening to our friend Ari Wasserman's podcast. It's an Ohio State show. He had Brian Windhorst on, and he brought up a good point that it's not necessarily the market, but it's the rabid fandom of the people in that market about that school that will help dictate how much a player might be worth endorsing or selling or appearing in commercials, whatever. Whereas even though a place like USC is in LA and bigger than Columbus or bigger than Stillwater or bigger than, you know, Clemson, you name it, Lubbock, the people in LA by and large do not care about USC football unless it's like playing for national championship year in and year out and Pete Carroll's a charismatic guy. There are many USC fans, but you're competing against the Los Angeles Lakers
and
the LA Dodgers. Whereas if you're in Columbus, and I don't know how well the Blue Jackets are or were received or whatever, but like, Columbus is only Ohio State, and the state of Ohio is 90, whatever it is. I'm sure there are Cincinnati fans and Bobcat fans, whatever, but that's an Ohio State state. So there is something about where in relation to how influential team fandom is that I think you didn't hit on with Columbus. That was should have been a direction you went on. Not that like Columbus has all these huge corporations, but like, Ohio State is the team in the state. Like, there are Bengals and Browns fans, and maybe the Browns are, I don't know. It's probably not the Indians or whatever the baseball team is called now. It should be the Spiders, right? That's a thing that people have talked about, going back to that name. But, yeah, maybe it was the Cavs briefly with LeBron. But, like, I think that the magnitude of fandom has to be the hardest, has to be the fiercest for Ohio State. So...
yeah.
I think that's the angle with how we talk about NIL is like, how influential are a team's players in
the heavyweight?
Metro market.
The heavyweight? Yeah, who's the heavyweight?
Yeah. So that's just, it's going to be tougher. Like it'll be easier for a Texas player because they're the show in Austin, and a Texas A&M player, maybe, although the proximity to Houston isn't necessarily an advantage. But in those like diehard college towns, Eugene, Oregon, South Bend, whatever, I think that it's gonna resonate more as a an influencer and an endorser.
All right. Well, solidverbal@gmail.com, write in. You could also hit us up on social. We know you will. Also going out to verballers.com. Verballers.com again is where you can find all of our Patreon stuff, our tiers, which we are working on ever so diligently behind the scenes. Many, many, many more exciting things to come here. So Don't change your dial if that's still a thing. Thank you for your support in downloading the show. If you haven't already, please do go on out to our website at solidverbal.com and sign up for the newsletter, Dan. I think that's all I got.
All right. That's all I have. I'm good.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrandt, we will catch you all next week. In the meantime, as always, enjoy your weekend. Stay solid.
Peace. Go Pokes.